The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening in the studio, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, filling in, going solo for Joanne Shaw, Mr. Matthew Dressing.
Thank you.
I know that was kind of weird, but.
It's all good.
How are you, Matt?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
Good. For those people that are tuning in or listening to us that don't really know where we are in southern Ontario in what we call the Greater Toronto Area. We're outside of Toronto, about 30 minutes where we broadcast from, and we have been having rain and rain and rain and rain.
Oh.
And that's got to affect a lot of people trying to get their gardening done, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of landscapers are behind, plants are behind. Nutrients are being leached from the soil. Things
True.
Are just slowing down.
Would that, and I know your topic tonight, if I may.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about fertilizers.
We are.
Now, on one hand, if someone put a specific fertilizer down, depending upon what it is, rain is good, right? So they don't have to water it in?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'll let you take it, okay? Because this is interesting. A lot of people, I know even for myself, a lot of people say, well, in the spring, what's the best fertilizer to put down for a particular grass or a plant or what have you, a tree? And there's so many things out there on the market, and it's so confusing.
Yeah,
so.
there's quite a number of options that we have available for sure. Water-soluble, natural, organic, inorganic, all sorts of different things.
So it's all yours here. Go ahead, start the show, and let's get going on this because I'm sure a lot of people are very interested on what you have to say.
All right. Well, I guess just to welcome everyone, you are listening to Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips, advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. So as fellow gardeners, and even more so as landscape designers, Joanne and I, we think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance. Each week here on Down the Garden Path, we do our best to help you achieve that. We bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics and guests that can help you and us learn about a subject or help us with our yards and gardens. So there's plenty to talk about, and tonight we're going to talk about fertilizers. So yeah, I mean, there are lots of different types of fertilizers. Everyone's constantly asking, you know, what's good to put down, how often do I do it, what different types are there, and just because I'm kind of sciencey. So there's four types. Mineral, so these are things that are like ground rocks that are containing nutrients. So lime is a mineral fertilizer. They dissolve and release slowly, have low nutritional value, limited usefulness. Organic, and organic is a big movement right now, especially in the garden, especially
does
in growing your own.
Does it
does.
Work?
It does, yeah. The organic does really work. It's organic things like compost really give you a long feed that slowly release throughout the entire season.
Okay, because yeah. I know a lot of people back in the day, and I'm not promoting anything that would hurt the environment, because we know there was a lot of chemicals back in the day used for different things that can hurt us and our groundwater, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people have noticed over the past few years, they say, well, I went to organic this and organic that. It's not the same as when I used to put down this or that. So there's a lot of people that always state, I don't know if organic is that great. So,
yeah.
Right? You probably heard it, right?
Totally. Yeah. All the time. And it's mainly because the organics or the synthetic organics or the inorganics, the things that we mine and or manufacture, like, you know, the common water soluble stuff that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
They are high in nutrients and release or are very soluble very quickly. So they give a very quick, rapid result.
Okay.
For example, like the chemical in your lawn, if you use just a regular lawn fertilizer, they just release very quickly and give you a very quick
People want
burst.
That, right? Instant gratification, right?
Exactly. It's that very instant gratification. Yeah. And then that organic component, just kind of like Mother Nature, is feeding slower, more stably, building the soil at the same time, encouraging other beneficial insects and components of the whole cycle.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, synthetic and organic or inorganic, sorry, or chemical kind of inorganic fertilizers, they're just that instant kind of thing.
Are they, if someone came to you for a specific problem, say you as an expert, have you recommended both? Like for a certain thing, I recommend organic, and for this, I recommend synthetic. Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, sometimes, you know, certain plants will have a deficiency or need to green up quickly or something like that. Or just even on the lawn, for example, if we're trying to build a very quick lawn, usually I'll go chemical versus organic.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But you don't need to or want to do both. You can still over-fertilize.
Is that possible?
Yes. Yeah. So
if someone was putting down, let's say, nitrogen for their grass, they wanted it to... Because that helps it look green, right, basically, too?
Right.
Doesn't it?
Right.
And let's say they put it down, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, they did it again. Is that a bad thing, that quick, like every 3 to 4 weeks to feed it?
Yeah, usually, especially with your lawn fertilizer, you want to spread it out a little bit. The grass doesn't need it that much. So what happens is you can bring on other issues. You can spur on funguses and other diseases
that
will also feed on it. Right. We get one here. We had a little bit of it this year and of the previous year, the snow mold.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever seen the grass kind of go white? When the snow melts.
Okay.
And it'll feed on high nitrogens in the fall
and
to drive that growth because the grass is nice and long. So you can encourage other detrimental things.
So a rule of thumb is if you're going to feed with just, I'm not saying with anything pre-emergent stuff or anything like that. If you're just going to feed fertilizer, how many times a year or how many weeks in between feedings?
Yeah, and it all depends on what you've got. So always make sure that you read the label and, you know, follow those directions because, again, chemicals are very quickly released and are available in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Organic is a slow thing. So always just follow the rates. But there is a rhyme that I always, just a general rule of thumb that I like to use.
I can't wait to hear it.
So it's from Easter to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
You're going to do every other week.
Every other week?
Right. Easter with usually like a water-soluble fertilizer.
Okay.
It's something that's balanced, like a 20-20-20.
Okay.
So you have all the nutrients, including some of the micronutrients and things available.
Hold on. I'm writing this down. I am. Okay. So Easter, you said, just for our people too. Now, when we say Easter's, that's pretty much... equivalent all around the world, but our Thanksgiving is in October.
Right, yes. So our Thanksgiving is in October.
Okay.
Right, versus the American, which is in November.
Okay. So so you would recommend from Easter to Thanksgiving a mixture, say, of 20-20-20? Something like that?
20-20-20. Or, I mean, if you have flowering annuals, plants and annuals, you'll need something with a higher middle number to encourage the flowering.
Okay.
So it could be 15-30-15. And then that's where you get into the more specific fertilizers as well.
Okay, and what's the next part of the poem?
And then Thanksgiving back to Easter, just once a month.
Same type of thing?
Right. So based on what plant you have and what their needs are, the once a month of that fertilizer.
Okay, now we're talking plants and not grass, just to...
Just I'm thinking house plants, perennials, shrubs.
Okay.
Things that are more in containers or even in the ground, depending on how long they've been in there.
Okay, very cool. Okay. Yeah. Very good. You got so much stuff here. Wow. Folks, if you could see the cheat sheet I have, it looks like we're taking a college course.
Yeah.
We got graphs. We got things. This is amazing. All right. So continue. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
I actually went into my college textbooks.
Yeah,
too,
I figured. Right? Yeah. Like, it's amazing. Yeah.
So another common thing that people like to ask is if you look at all the fertilizers, they have three numbers. So, for example, we were saying, right, the 20-20-20. So that is your three major or your macronutrients, your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, your NPK.
That's always in that order?
Right. It's always in that order.
Okay.
And so nitrogen. So nitrogen is going to give you that greening. It helps build the cell walls and cell division and gives you that greening, that lushness.
Okay.
Encourages growth. And then P, your phosphorus. So phosphorus in our area, because we have a clay loam, we've got lots of phosphorus. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the issues with the fertilizers. And a lot of lawn fertilizers you'll see are going to zero. And the reasoning they're saying behind that is that we've got so much phosphorus, the phosphorus isn't being used, the nutrients are being leached away because there's so much in the soil. And that's where they're draining into watersheds.
So that would be more clay soil, you're saying?
We have a more clay soil. Right. The phosphorus is just an element that would be.
Okay.
Yeah. But then the phosphorus is encouraging things like algal blooms that are strangling habitats.
Okay.
So your phosphorus is your roots as well as your flowers. So it really builds like the ovaries, the sex parts of the flowers themselves, and causes and feeds them to bloom. And then your potassium. And it deals, that's your K, and it's going to be your immune system, but also help the transport and the mobility of some of the other nutrients as well.
Okay.
And so there's a little rhyme about that, believe it or not.
What is that?
So just to remember, it's up, down, all around.
And what does that mean?
So up again, so it just references the NPK. So up your nitrogen, your down your phosphorus, and then your potassium all around.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have signs of that stuff like in the store?
With that little saying? No, I don't know.
Oh, that's fun. Do you ever tell people that?
I do. I use it all the time.
That's great.
Because people just don't remember.
They don't get it. Yeah.
Right.
Very nice. Okay.
So up, down, and
all around. Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, as you get into different plants, things like perennials, for example, they'll usually need more of a phosphorus and a potassium. So your up, down, all around may not look like 20-20-20. It may be more of an 8-10-10.
Okay.
So the numbers start to fluctuate when you start to feed different or individual plants of different species and types and what you want them to do them.
Okay, very good. Now, I know, you're talking about fertilizers this evening, folks. Again, you are listening to us on Down the Garden Path, and your host right now is Matthew Dressing. And if you want to get on board, it's very simple to do. A lot of people prefer emails. If you want to email us, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you'd like to call us, it's very simple. If you're in the Toronto GTA area, that number is 905-725-1907. Or anywhere else in the area, toll free, we will pay for the call, 1-866-905-7325. And we are talking about fertilizers with Matthew Dressing. Matt, I have one other question before you continue.
Yeah.
So we're talking about fertilizers. A lot of people, again, you're talking more for plants and this and that and everything else. Everything that I've talked to about people regarding this type of year, this time of year and fertilizers, they seem to be so much more obsessed with their lawn than their plants. So are you going to touch base on any of that today?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all I wanted to say. Because I know for a fact, I got to be straight. Couple of neighbors, they said, oh, this rain's good for the grass, but I wonder what I got to put down. They're always worried about their grass. They never care about their plants for some reason. I don't get it.
Trees or shrubs.
Yeah, they don't care about it. So the people are whacked about grass, I guess. So I don't know.
I think we're a very grass-obsessed culture, to be honest.
If you have a nice lawn, that's it. They don't care about, the flowers and the trees and the shrubs, but everybody looks at that lawn, right?
Yeah, everyone wants that emerald carpet perfection. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll touch all lawns. It sounds like you have questions about lawns.
Yeah, I pretty much just let the hell of it go. I really haven't done much at all so far, so, yeah. But anyways, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, lawns are a big thing. Vegetable gardens is also another big question right now, too. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to feed their vegetables, and fruit trees are starting to fruit and flower. Well, they've done flowering, but getting the most out of your fruits and vegetables. So just another thing that a lot of people ask about, again, is how much do I need to feed? Like you were saying, and vegetables is also a really good, important one. You can overfeed your things like your vegetables.
Okay.
And you will get a large plant, but little to no fruit on it. So you'll get a very late harvest. So just touching back on over-fertilizing. For your vegetables, most certainly. Most of them, it goes back to that rule, your heavy feeders like your tomatoes and your peppers and things, you can just do a veggie or a water-soluble fertilizer every 2 weeks.
Okay, what happens, farmers, when they have hundreds of acres, say, of tomatoes and peppers and, you know, whatever they grow, corn, whatever, did these guys also fertilize or they just let it go natural? Because it would be such an expense, I would assume. You know, if you're planting 600 acres of tomatoes, do they just let it go like Mother Nature and hope for the best? Or do they actually fertilize and all that?
Yeah, they will add some fertilizer or some amendments either in their water or they'll add something to the soil. And then each farmer or establishment will all do it differently.
Okay.
Sure.
That's got to be a heck of an expense, I would think, right? Yeah, very much so. So there, folks, so if you have to buy something for your plants, either your garden or your potted plants, don't think you're going crazy with, spending. Think about the farmers, the food you eat,
what
they have to go through. So, okay.
Yeah. And we fertilize because, again, we break that cycle. So the most nutrient-dense fertilizer are the leaves that fall every year.
Wow, that's right.
It's free food, right? So shredding them up and mulching them or even composting them, that's what gives you all of that lush food.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So another question a lot of people get that comes with fertilizers is you end up with questions about your pH.
Right.
And what is pH? And pH is basically the measurement of the exchange of hydrogen ions in the soil. So basically how the soil can make these elements and these nutrients water soluble.
Okay, so that's important. What should pH be? Is it different for trees, plants, and grass and everything? If you had a pH soil sample done, or is it different for everything, or is there a rule of thumb where pH should be within a certain number?
Yeah, so pH, if you think back to high school, just for those who maybe aren't familiar with pH, it's that scale of acidity to basic. So that scale of 1 to 14. 7 being neutral, so that's our rain or our drinking water. And most plants like a range of just lower than neutral from about 6.2 to about 6.8. And one of the charts that you can't see that I've given Gary is each nutrient, your nitrogen, your phosphorus, your potassium, they all become locked or unlocked based on that pH. So most plants like that 6.2 to 6.8. But things like blueberries or azaleas, rhododendrons, other trees and shrubs, they like more of an acidic soil.
Okay, now if the pH is off, let's say something like you just said should have a 6.2 to a 6.8. Let's say they have a high pH, 8, 9, 10, whatever. What would that do to the fruit or the plant if it's a high pH? And then what would it do if it's too low of a pH?
Yeah, so they almost both do the same thing, as in the nutrients become locked up. So the water can no longer dissolve them and the plants can't pull them off the soil or out of the soil in the water.
That's with a high pH or low?
With both.
Oh, with both, okay.
Right, so you end up with certain nutrients becoming unavailable. So certain nutrients not being able to feed the plants, your plants start to show deficiencies or run into issues. They become stunted or they don't produce enough fruit, or the fruit aren't big enough, or buds and things start to die.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if someone came in, say, to talk to you about why their they're not producing properly, do you ever suggest, well, let's check the pH of the soil?
Yeah, yeah,
you do.
For sure.
Okay, yeah.
And you can usually, if you're worried about your pH, there's actually just a little pH meter. So it's just a kind of a little green box with a little dial, kind of like your gas gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put it into your moist soil,
okay.
Let it sit for half a minute or so, and the dial will very quickly move and tell you exactly what it is. It kind of reads that exchange of ions on the soil. Yeah.
There you go. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And then if they are worried about their pH or their pH is slightly off, we can use different amendments.
To make it more balanced or where you want it.
Exactly.
You add something or you take away something. Basically,
you got it.
Right?
Yeah. You make it more acidic or less acidic. And that's where you see your things like lime and sulfur.
Yeah. I always wondered lime. When I saw people putting lime down on their grass and stuff, I always wondered what that was for.
Yeah. And grass likes a little bit of a sweeter pH. So closer to that 6-8 kind of range. So they bring it up into that range.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, you ready? You want to take a commercial
break?
Yeah,
let's...
We'll do that and get that out of the way.
Pause for a commercial break. And you're listening to Down the Garden Path, and I'm Matthew Dressing, and in for Joanne Shaw. We'll be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
Hi, I'm Mark Cullen with some news about a wonderful lineup of garden supplies and garden tools that will absolutely knock your gardening socks off. They're called Mark's Choice, and they're exclusive to Home Hardware, 1,100 stores coast to coast to coast. Mark's Choice features great quality products that will not only last years, but in some cases will last a lifetime. Look for my various garden gloves, stainless steel garden tools, stainless steel digging tools, my new garden backhoe, and many, many others. As a matter of fact, there's over 160 different products in the Mark's Choice lineup. I'd love you to try them all, but start by sampling one that appeals to you. Drop by your local Home Hardware, have a look at the Mark's Choice lineup of tools and garden supplies, including my line of garden soils, and decide for yourself. Great quality, lasting quality, and a great gardening experience. That's what I strive for with Mark's Choice. Look for it at Home Hardware.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us by telephone, dial 905-725-1907. toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thanks for joining us this evening. And we're talking everything about fertilizers. So what to feed your plant, how and when. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in studio101@gmail.com.
I can't wait to eventually you're going to get someone writing in and saying, what's the best fertilizer you use on my weed plants? You know, my weed, you know, I'm saying cannabis, right?
You know,
my weed plants. I tried that Rapid Grow, but, you know, that's funny, right?
It is.
You got to grow good pot. Listen, if you're growing pot, hey, grow good pot. What could I say?
Right.
You got to do it right, right? You don't want all these buds and things happening, you know.
No.
Anyways, I just thought I'd throw it in as a joke, folks. Take it easy. It's just a joke.
It is just a joke. But it is funny because we do have a lot of people coming in even now.
Yeah,
with
asking.
The whole becoming legalized in our country, right?
Yeah.
I've got these plants and I need to get
say pot
soil.
Plants? Oh, yeah. They don't know, right? They don't want to say anything.
Yeah. Or what are you growing? We can, you know, get better fertilizer or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and they're all embarrassed and shy, and they blow. Yeah. Oh, just some pot plants.
Yeah. So, say, well, you know, and someone is going to, I'm sure, one of the manufacturers is probably going to make something just specialty for those plants eventually.
Oh, totally. There'll be a whole line.
Yeah, you'll have a whole line with shelves.
Yeah.
Well, come on over to the cannabis department. Right? We also sell pipes over near the garden hoses.
Yeah.
You know? And there's some lighters there, and your bongs are over near the bird feeders.
Yeah, and they're made out of bird feeders.
Yeah, like bongs,
weird.
You know. It's hilarious. Anyways, I just thought, all right, take it easy, listeners, all right? We're having some fun.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. All right. You can't have fun, what's the point?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so go ahead. Fertilizers. We're talking fertilizers today, and it's interesting so far. There's some things you talked about that I really didn't know about. Especially, you know, it's interesting, as you say, when you talk about numbers on the bags and boxes of things of fertilizer, like 20-20-20 and this and that, people, you know, I'm glad you brought up what that actually means, your NPK, right, basically?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know what that is.
Nope.
You know, they say, oh, what's, yeah, ma'am, you need to use this, and then they go, what's 20-15? They don't get it.
Yeah.
So it was very good that you explained it. There's some of this stuff that you're talking about, I have no idea. And then you just cleared it up for me, so very nice.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people, I think a common misconception just with the NPK is just making sure that if you are trying to fertilize flowering plants, that you do use something with a higher middle number and kind of avoid those high nitrogen, just all-purpose things. Your Miracle-Gro 28-something-something or whatever.
A lot of people seem to be out there. And we're not putting down any products or services, but a lot of people seem to use that stuff for their vegetables because that's heavily advertised.
Yes.
Like, you know, we'll be straight because if it's, you know, we're not saying anything wrong.
Nope.
The point is, like, you have Miracle-Gro and stuff like that, a brand name.
Right.
It's heavily advertised on media. And then they show the guy with a tomato that looks like a bowling ball.
Right.
You know, it's like, but who wants to eat that? You know, that can't taste very well, I would think. Right.
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either.
I like that organic, or that more organic, slower growing touch.
Yeah, that's better, you would think, right?
Yeah, I just think it just tastes a lot sweeter to me personally. But
very good.
Again, to each his own. And and then you get that brand confusion where you get, like your Miracle-Gro, and, they showed the tomato and it was all purpose they were advertising. Yeah. So I obviously need this.
Yeah.
And no, there's actually different fertilizers for different plants. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So make sure if you are buying a fertilizer or looking to purchase a fertilizer, make sure you just ask, a knowledgeable garden center personnel, someone who knows about their fertilizers. And you'll find that there's a lot of vegetable or plant specific fertilizer. There's always vegetable fertilizers out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's always acid and berry loving plants fertilizer out there. tomato food specifically, it's in a category all by itself. Yeah. Rose foods, things like that. So just make sure you are buying a fertilizer more specific for your plants' needs, because plants, like people, we all need and want different things, and mm-hmm. plants are no different.
Yeah. Interesting. For sure. Very interesting. It is a science.
It really is a It really is a science. And just, you know, I was just kind of brushing up on a couple buzzwords and different things in my college textbook. Mm-hmm. And there's just a massive world out there of fertilizing. So we're touching on, you know, everything you kind of need to know for the homeowner. But yeah, I went into a lot of that farming stuff.
Well, you know,
talking about too.
You make a good point, though. Sometimes over-fertilizing can be worse than not fertilizing at all, correct?
Most certainly. Most yeah. certainly. Yep. Yeah. And when it comes to watering and fertilizing, one of the things I like to say too is just when in doubt, don't, because we tend to over-love our plants.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You do the wrong thing then.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it looked wilting, so I gave it more water. Well, it was probably wilting because you gave it too much water.
Too much water.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the symptoms for over-watering and under-watering are identical.
See, I was just going to ask you that. When someone has a plant and they're watering, they think the right way and in the right time frame, how can you tell if a plant is getting too much water or not enough? Now, you would think, well, it's not getting enough because it's dry leaves, crumbling, breaking off. And then you would say it's overwatered if it's droopy and it's soggy, you know, like, but you say they can have the same symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah. Because one, you start to drown and you push all the air out. And then one, you starve of the, you know, there's no water. They're very thirsty. So they both collapse in the same way. And it comes down again, kind of like picking your fertilizer, just knowing what plants like what.
Okay.
And like cactus, obviously, they like a little drier soil.
Right, of course.
Type
right.
of thing. And then feeling the soil as well, seeing how much water is actually in there.
Just put your fingers in there and just, if it's right?
Right.
If it's real dampy, you don't want to add water.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, most plants will tell you. And a lot of people, what they do too with overwatering is they let the surface of the plant dry out. And then it's been a week and the top of the soil looks dry. Well, it's been a week, it's dry, I better water something. But they have this large plant where there's a lot of water not being accessed by the plant or the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So the roots are still sitting in with more than enough water.
Okay.
And then you add more and it dries out. So that's also a common thing.
Now, could I ask you this? Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, have your clients, customers, ever come in to talk to you about a problem and actually bring a plant? Do they bring it?
Yeah, yeah. And we actually encourage that in our garden centers.
Okay.
Oh, I've got this plant and it's doing this and doing this. And, you know, a lot of different disease or nutrient deficiencies, they
yeah.
can all kind of present the same way. Or if, you know, there's a disease and a stress and a nutrient deficiency, some of them don't quite show. So it's really good to take a look at that plant. And, yeah, we have a free repotting service where we are. And we just say, bring it in and, you know, we'll unpotter and take a look and
really
tell you what's going on.
Very nice.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And speaking about watering and fertilizing, another thing to keep in mind is never fertilize or add fertilizer to your water if you're going to use a water soluble. So something like a Miracle-Gro or a water soluble fertilizer, Miracle-Gro being the most known. Never mix your fertilizer and water it into dry soil because the water.
You better talk to my wife. I think I saw her earlier today mixing something in water.
Okay.
To water the houseplants.
Yeah, so as long as there was some water in the houseplant still, that it wasn't bone dry.
Okay.
That's where we get into an issue. Because, again, the water solubles are manufactured in that kind of chemical-based
right.
type fertilizer. So
yeah.
They can burn the roots.
Oh, man.
So you can damage the plants as well.
Uh-oh. I better talk to her.
So, yeah. So
if you were going to do that, would you put... Let's say the plant was dry.
Right.
Would you just water it with regular water first for a day or so and then go back?
Yeah.
With the,
yeah.
Okay.
So if you water it first, make sure that the soil can take the water. Another thing that I find when people bring in their plants, to, like we were just saying, is the soil surface is so dry
mm-hmm.
because a lot of the potting mixes are peat-based
mm-hmm.
and peat is naturally hydrophobic. So they water and it runs down the sides. They think they're giving it all this water and it's not really absorbing very well.
Okay.
So make sure that that's broken up first. But then, yeah, water your plant first
okay.
to wet the peats and let it suck up some water. And you usually okay. only need 20 to 30 minutes. Let it really soak
okay.
in. A good flush, make sure it runs out of the okay. out of the bottom of the pot, and then add your fertilizer 30 minutes or so later, and then do that. Water okay. it that way. And then it becomes available. It's that second watering that the plant's actually going to take water off of the soil from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, man. It's like having a kid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like, oh.
It is.
I'm getting a headache, man. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So a couple other things just to kind of keep in mind. I mean, if it's going back to the over-fertilizing and the effects of your fertilizer, definitely they're going to be beneficial. Fertilizer is food, so it's like us eating. So just, you know, avoid always over-fertilizing, adding enough liquid fertilizer to the water, and let about 10% of what's added leach out the bottom of your container. So
wow, interesting.
Let some of it go through. Don't use a slow release in combination with a water soluble. So that's what's going to help you over-fertilize. And when you over-fertilize, all of the minerals and the fertilizer, they're all elements and nutrients that are in a salt form. So they basically, they bond to the soil and prevent other nutrients or lighter nutrients from joining back with the soil and becoming available. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of starve out a soil. So just watch for that. If a sign of over-fertilizing as well is, have you ever seen that kind of yellowy, orange, or white crust that just kind of grows on the top of your soil? Or mm-hmm. the soil leaves the edge of the pot and you get that kind of white line? Or if you have a terracotta pot and there's white crust growing, that's your fertilizers being left behind as the water evaporates.
Yeah.
And you're getting stuck. So that crust can fill your soil and then your soil can't absorb other fertilizers to feed.
Interesting.
Right. So, and a lot of people, what they like to do too is add a slow release fertilizer and mix it into the soil. So you don't really need to do that or don't do that unless you're absolutely certain you're using the exact amount per plant. That can also contribute to over-fertilizing. And lastly, if you've over-fertilized, or if you feel that you've over-fertilized, a couple of things, make sure that you leach the soil. So flood your plants. Just really overwater them in just a burst, right? Because all the water-soluble nutrients will dissolve again off the soil with enough water and start to be pushed out. So, you know, you overwater a plant, all the water comes out and spills mm-hmm. out the bottom. So that'll carry out a lot of the excess nutrients as well.
So if I'm watering, say, my hanging plants outside, whatever,
right.
and I, you know, I have a light mist on my hose I'm watering, should I just keep filling that plant until I see the water come out the bottom, you're saying?
Right. So if it's dry, flood it. If it's dry, though, it's just going to pour out because dry water is just soil with open air.
Okay.
So flood it so that it pours out the bottom, but then water it again, and you'll find the next time you water it, less water will come out. More will sit in there before it starts to run out.
Okay.
But if you've over-fertilized or worried that you have, flood it. So it's just constantly pouring out for 5 to 10 minutes.
That cleans it up kind of sort of.
Right. It redissolves all those salts and flushes them out. Yeah.
Wow.
Another.
I would never win an award for gardening. Man, there's no way.
Are you sure?
Yeah, man.
I quite like out front, not going
to
lie.
That's Elaine. You know, she tells me to do stuff and I just, I freak, you know. I start the lawnmower and cut the lawn. That's about it. You know, I don't want to, you know, she's out there doing stuff and I look, you know, and some of my neighbors as well. And I go, how do you know this stuff? I mean, how do you know what not to do? How do you know what to do? How do you... You know, what do you buy? It gives me a headache.
Yeah, there's so many options out
there.
Yeah. For sure. So, you know what? Why don't we take our last break?
Oh, I'm not ready.
You're not ready?
Because we usually take one.
Oh, are we not going to take a second?
We can take a second. If you want to talk for a minute, I'll get things queued up.
Oh,
talk for a second and we'll get things queued up.
Okay, I'll tell you one last tip.
Maybe we do take two. I don't remember.
I thought we did.
Maybe we did. That's okay, folks. That's okay.
Today we'll do it.
Okay, we'll do that. I'm just going to cue something up here. So,
all right. So one last tip. If you've over-fertilized or you're afraid you're over-fertilized and you see that crust, is make your plants or your containers some tea. So just
that's interesting.
Regular tea
that.
Bags. Yeah. And it's the tannic acid, the tannins in the tea that help break down some of the heavier salts and the complex things to leach them out.
No sugar and milk, though.
No, no.
Okay, just
and room temperature.
Room temperature. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Boiling
okay.
hot orange pico.
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, so we'll take a commercial break. You're listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm your host this evening, Matthew Dressing, and we will be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101. Like 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you whispering the words to melt everyone, but you stay so cool.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
My name is Mike McNairn. I'm the manager of Universal Field Supplies. Universal Field Supplies specializes in products that are used by arborists. They're professional quality tools that guys that use them every day need to rely on. So they tend to be higher quality than what's found in big box stores. The Universal Field Supplies product could be used by anybody that has trees and likes to look after trees. We've all been to school for forestry or arboriculture, and we have many years of experience. We would be happy to answer any questions people have and actually ask questions of them and find out exactly what their needs are and determine what product would suit them the best. Don't hesitate to call. Here's how to reach us. Call 1-800-387-4940 or email at info@ufsupplies.com. See you soon.
Universal Field Supplies has stores in Mississauga, Ontario, and Port Coquitlam in British Columbia. Learn more at universalfieldsupplies.com.
If these walls came crumbling down. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing. Right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host, Matthew Dressing.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to back to Down the Garden Path. We are here this evening talking everything fertilizers, and we've pushed it off and pushed it off. But I think, Gary, I think you're ready for some real lawn questions about fertilizer.
Well, yeah, you know, like I say, including me, but everybody's concerned with their lawn. How do I look like a flush, beautiful, plush, green, no bumps, this, that, everything nice, golf course type of, you know, that's what they all want.
Oh, right? That's what they all want.
Because I know they come in probably to talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah.
And they probably say, now, look, how come my neighbor's is like this and mine's like this? And we live right next door to each other. Why, right?
Yep.
You know, so what do you tell them?
Yeah.
You say, you know what? Put down an artificial lawn.
Yeah. Go and get people are doing that.
I know. I can't believe that.
It's insane. But, yeah, and it really depends on a lot of different things. you know, mowing height, frequency of watering, the types of grass that they have, what are their grasses used for. And again, just tying into what we're talking about, fertilizing. A lot of people just kind of fertilize it once and they just leave it. But grass is a plant as well, and it goes through different seasons, and she does need at least three good fertilizings through the year.
Right, and if you did that, do you have to use different fertilizers for the season, or could you use one good quality and put that down three times a year?
Yeah, you can use just one good quality fertilizer, and you should always buy really quality fertilizer.
Okay.
When it comes to grass seed and fertilizer, you do really get what you pay for.
Okay.
But as far as numbers, the NPK that we were talking about before, the grass does like a little more potassium, so that's your back number, your K, in the fall. And what that does is it bolsters a lot of its immune system and its resistances to the stresses that it's going to take through the winter with its...
Okay. So, and you said you would do that primarily three times a year?
Right.
Nylon? Okay.
Right. So I always say middle or to mid to end of May is when you're going to do the lawn. And everybody likes to go out there and do it really, really early. But remember, the grass grows slower than the weeds. So if the grass really isn't showing any signs of life, the roots have started, but the weeds are going to eat a lot of that food as well. So you're fertilizing both. You're fertilizing anything.
Right.
So usually just wait till the end of mid-May. You get some really good growth. You've got a chance to put down things like pre-emergence and stop the weeds from spreading. And the grass can do a lot of, utilize a lot of that food to fight a lot of its own battles and setting up for the spring and the summer.
Okay, but when people put down a fertilizer... They also sometimes have a combination fertilizer that does something for weeds or dandelions or what have you. What do you recommend?
Yeah, and those are all gone now, actually, in Canada. So the only thing you can really see is a corn gluten product. And it's usually called, it's the new, quote-unquote, weed and feed that you'll see in all the stores.
Yeah, weed and feed.
Right, and then nowadays it's all just corn gluten. And the
what
corn
does that
gluten,
mean?
So it's a corn byproduct, basically, from... you know, manufacturing and using food or corn in food.
How does that, though, kill weeds and things?
Yeah, so the corn releases a protein which has new weed seeds. It won't kill established weeds, just so that we, so we're clear there. It won't kill established weeds. So if you got dandelions, you got to pick them. But early in the spring, crabgrass is a big one. So there's the crabgrass seeds, because crabgrass is an annual.
Okay.
The seeds will sprout and absorb the corn protein. And the corn protein messes up with the genetics and basically shuts the seed down from sprouting. So if you've done all this picking in the fall and then it's winter, you wake up, you put your corn gluten down, and that keeps all the big open soilless or grassless patches from growing weeds while grass is still slowly waking up and taking hold again.
So if you use this type of fertilizer the three times a year, would you put that down... with the fertilizer, would you also put the corn gluten down as well three times a year?
No. So corn gluten really only need, you can do it three different times, but it's not going to be your regular fertilizing.
Okay.
So your corn gluten is going to be late March, early April, and you really have, crabgrass is the main one at that point.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with the shrub forsythia, have you ever seen that big yellow guy?
I might have.
Yeah, like there's no leaves on the tree and this big yellow shrub is blooming. So about that time when it blooms, your crabgrass is big enough that the corn gluten has no effect.
Okay.
So the main time.
It's a waste then.
Right. After that, most people are after crabgrass and the other weeds have started.
Well,
so it's too late.
What happens if someone's yard is just full of dandelions? Say it's like 90% yellow.
Yeah.
What do you do about something like that? Okay, because if we don't have the right chemicals, I'll use that word, that will destroy them like we used to be able to do.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, mainly pick them out. I love dandelions. I like to
they're
eat them and things.
Okay, and they are
so
pretty.
Them,
I mean, the color and everything, right?
Yeah.
But let's say someone didn't like that. How do you?
So the main thing is either dig them out, but there is a new product called Weed Out, which is an old name. And it's fairly fascinating. They've taken the enzyme from peas and beans, so when they grow up, the pod will release an enzyme that'll kill the mother plant.
What about grass around it? If you're, is it like a spray?
Right, so it won't hurt the grass, but it kills, that enzyme will hurt a lot of the bigger broadleaf weeds. So like thistles, plantains, dandelions, henbit, things like that. So that's the new one out. So you could use that. It's brand new this year, and that'll kill the root as well.
Okay, so let's say the, 1 year the guy doesn't do anything with dandelions, okay?
Yeah.
And then in the spring, is that when you normally treat, you said dandelions, you said April, or in the winter? When do you put the stuff down for dandelion to make sure that they won't grow again? In other words, you said if it's already grown, this stuff won't work, right?
Right.
But if it's not already grown, this stuff will work. Well, when do you put that down?
Yeah, so that's when you're going to put that in late March to early April. And any of the weed seeds that'll start will kill that.
Okay, so if a guy dug out all his dandelions, say, the year before.
Right.
And he did this treatment in March, April, like you said. Right. Hopefully that will prevent him for the next year.
Right, so all the dandelion seeds that have been sitting there under the leaves or amongst the grass, as they start to go in the early spring, they'll be stopped.
Okay, so there is a way to get rid of everything, really.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot more work.
Right. And then making sure that your lawn is very well fed and cut properly. So, you know, that 3 inches with the Humidex and water once a week, the grass will actually outcompete a lot of those weeds and eventually kill them. Or as long as it's long enough and the seeds can't hit the soil, usually birds or the sun and the wind will kill them as well.
I know you haven't talked specific fertilizers for different times of the year, because we did talk about maybe one certain type 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But what would be for some preventative measures in the fall to put down so that the next spring they might not have those problems?
Right. So you did ask about the corn gluten. And
corn,
you know,
gluten, right.
Could you do that 3 times a year? Ideally, no. So the second time would be you put it down if you go away for summer vacation. You know, the lawn, the summer weeds are out, the lawn goes dormant. You can put it down and prevent any new weed seeds from sprouting then because the grass is asleep. But you can do it in the fall as well, just at the end of this, at the end of the season. Give it a few weeks before, you know, usually I say about mid-October, to early November. You know, there's still enough rain. It's not, ground isn't frozen. So the corn gluten starts, and then do it again in the spring.
That would help dandelions, perhaps?
Right, and that'll help any of those other seeds. But once again, once the dandelion is grown, it's, you have to pick it or kill it another way.
Okay, because Ontario does not allow us to have whatever it used to be to kill them, right?
Exactly.
Do you agree with that? And I know you love dandelions because you said that, but let's say you didn't. And I understand there's always that concern about the groundwater and this and that, but that's also, that's been an argument that's yes and no to scientists and everything.
Yeah.
Where they say, depending upon where you live, it could affect water.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of places that's banned, there's no effect on groundwater. So how do you feel about that? If someone had, and I'm not talking everyday preventive maintenance, let's say someone had a really lawn that was really messed up and they came to you and they say, Matt, I got to do something because I can't afford to put in a whole new lawn or sod or whatever. If that was available, would you be pro that to help them?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it was available, and then my biggest feeling about it is as long as it's used properly, and that's, a lot of us love that perfect lawn and no insects.
Yeah.
So we tend to go overboard and spray it too much.
Okay, well, if we didn't allow to have that, I could see that, because some people would not use it properly.
Right.
And they'd abuse it.
Right,
but
right.
What about letting the lawn companies do it where they're licensed and trained?
Yeah. I mean, if they're trained and educated, I personally don't have
a problem, right?
Have a problem with it.
Neither
no.
do I. But the lawn company that 1 year, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've got so many questions to ask you. The one, I used a lawn company a couple years ago, and they seemed to use this Fiesta.
Yeah.
And they come like 3-4 times a year, and they put this Fiesta down, and that is supposed to be the kill all of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it didn't do much at all. So what is that? I mean, why wouldn't our government here, and we're just talking local government, Ontario, why wouldn't they say, look, we're not going to put this kind of stuff out in the public domain because you can abuse it, okay? And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't they let the lawn companies say, okay, if you have the training and a license and you put it down applicable properly, why won't they let them use that stuff?
And they have done that to a point. there are numbers that they can still use, and then they've, you know, removed a lot of the big bad ones because of the health risks that they fear they pose, and that some of them do pose. But they do have a number that those companies can access to do that still.
Okay, so they're allowed to do that?
They do have, right, but just like the homeowners, they have also, because of the toxicity of these things, have also had some of them removed as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and Fiestas, and someone please write in and correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard that Fiesta is pretty much a variant of Weed Be Gone from Scott's, and then it has an accelerant and maybe something slightly different in it. And then Weed Be Gone, you do have to wet afterwards to kill a lot of those weeds. So if it is Fiesta, like I've heard it is that, what they don't tell you is that you need to go out and wet the Weed Be Gone again, or the Fiesta, to really make it that active kill again.
Okay, so if people don't do that, they're wasting their money, really, if they don't do that.
Right, right. And assuming that what I've heard about Fiesta is correct. So, and then that's, I guess, where the kind of that loophole where a company like that could abuse that, you know, okay, not telling you something about it. And
yeah, because I was wondering about that. You know, a lot of these companies say, well, we use Fiesta because it's good for the environment, this, that, and everything else. Mm-hmm. But yet then people, you look at their lawns, it really hasn't done anything.
Right, because it's mainly like a foliage burner, and there's that hook where you need to wet it again, et cetera, et cetera. But again, correct me, someone, if I've heard or learned wrong. So
no, I would tend to believe you, because I've seen people, including my own yard in the past, with that applied, and it really didn't do much. And mm-hmm. I did water it, because they put their notes on the little thing they leave on your door.
Yeah.
Please water in as soon as possible. And I've done all that, and it still didn't do anything. So I wasn't happy with it. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I mean, working at the garden center, I've heard a lot of that as well. A lot of people don't like the Weed Be Gone, or they've had that exact same experience, and they're still hungry for something new. So.
Well, wow, Matt. I'm sure we're almost out of time, but
I was going to say.
But you still got tons of, I'm sure, to talk about.
We've just grazed the surface.
Yeah, I know, man. So you can easily do 2 hours.
We could.
And you did get one email. You can read that. Don't be embarrassed.
No, yeah. And I was going to say, thank you, Mike. Mike Crossman wrote in and said, great show, Matt. Amazing. And thanks, Mike, for taking the time and listening. I really enjoy that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So just as we wrap up, you can follow me at Nat Affinity on Twitter. Next week, Joanne Shaw comes back from her spring fling.
She's in Washington, D.C., correct?
Right, doing all the blogging stuff. So she's got, had texted me, and she's got a lot of cool gardens and things that she's seen, and really excited to come back and share some trends and plants and stuff for us.
Very cool.
So yeah, so that's what we'll be doing next
week. Great job, my friend.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you again, everyone, for listening. You are listening to Down the Garden Path. I am your host this evening, Matthew Dressing, and Joanne is just unfortunately absent, having fun. If you have any questions, you can reach Joanne at joanne@downtoearth.ca, or you can write here at instudio101@yahoo.com. You are listening to Down the Garden Path. Thank you again. On Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.